Welcome to Aspire.
I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you on this March 31st, 2018 day as we take a look at how do I change? That is our subject because that's what you've written to me, and I want to thank those of you who are generous enough and kind enough to write me and offer me your questions. They are the backbone of our radio program here on Aspire, and I hope that my offerings can help you. I want to remind you, of course, as always, that this radio program, as well as everything you see on the Aspire website, is supported solely and entirely upon your tax-deductible gifts. It is only through your tax-deductible contributions, monthly or quarterly, that we are able to continue and to make Aspire possible, both on radio and TV. So I am hoping that you will become a sponsor. It would be a very lovely thing if you did. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see support there in the middle of the page. And if you click on it, a drop-down menu will occur, and you can read all about why support Aspire, where your donations go, how you may sign up to become a sponsor, and what all the benefits are. And there are so many. And not only that, you're serving humankind. And that's really what it's all about, to serve and help people to think outside of the box. We are never going to progress or do anything really meaningful in our life until we are willing to step out of the box of our conventional mind, what I call my pedestrian mentality, and enter into something new and different. This is the new. It really isn't new. It's been around for thousands of years, but for a lot of people, it appears to be new, and it just might help them. At least I hope so. The first one question comes from Don. He said, how do I change? I mean, how do I really change, Greg? I have tried everything from clothes to work to money to family. I still don't seem to change. How do I change? It is about the core that needs to change. It is not about the clothes, the job, the family, the image, I would say, of us that needs to change. What authentically needs to change inside of us is the core from which we work from, our motivation, our motive, our image, our likeness do not mean that much, hardly at all. What matters is what is deep inside you. What is it that allows you to unfold into love, into kindness, into compassion? What is it that authentically changes a person? Typically, I have found after a certain period of time, Don, and I was recently talking to my students about this, you know, some of them have had catastrophic issues happen in their life with their health and with their circumstances. And Don, and to be really honest with you, it never changes any of them. They still go back and live undaunted in the image and likeness of what their minds are thinking about. And I'll tell you what it's all about. It's about a willfulness. I've had students who have died of cancer, and it didn't change the group at all. It didn't change their attitude. It didn't change how they approach their lives, their own lives. They couldn't go to school on their fellow student without judging them. They just thought, oh, that's too bad. Hope that doesn't happen to me, kind of thing. I have one student who has had cancer and dodged the bullet, as it were. But, you know, she hasn't changed her ways. She is petty, and she gets angry at a drop of the hat, and she's stingy. And, of course, you know what's going to happen. It just, you know. And no matter how she's told or taught or whatever, it doesn't change anything. So circumstances and conditions are not going to change anyone, not at all. What really changes someone? What authentically moves them from point A to point B? Well, it depends on what this lifetime is all about, what this incarnation for you is all about, and whether or not you and I can even recognize what it's all about. But I'll give you a little hint, something that might help you here. Authentic change is not to avoid. Whether it is a circumstance or a condition we don't want to have happen in our life, authentic change is not about avoiding some unpleasantry. Real change, authentic change, is to go from living from the premise of hate to love. It is the only change there can be. And most of us are not privy to love because we have taken love and made it an emotional pattern of repetitious emotionalities that are strung together out of the pitiful pearl part of us that says, oh, I was a victim, or my parents did this, they didn't do that, they said this, they didn't say that. Goes all the way down the line until you reach adulthood. And we're still like little children wanting mommy and daddy to love us in a certain way. So that is a big part of it. But how do you get to love? How do you let love live you? How do you let the qualities of love bless you, bring you to insight, compassion, love, tenderness, forgiveness? You see, Don, the things that need to be changed, the first one is that you have to recognize you're not just a human being, and that the habits and repetitions of your mind and your body are going to stay the way they are until you no longer are a product of your genetic heritage. Many of our habits and shortcomings, even our talents, come from our genetics. But how we use them, how we propagate them into life, into love, into kindness, how we make them a lifestyle is a very important thing that few people get involved in. So you're going to have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. I have many people who have come to me over the years and have said they wanted change, they wanted this, they wanted that, they didn't want this anymore, they didn't want that anymore. But nevertheless, no matter what it is they said they wanted, and no matter what it was that they thought they had to jettison in their life, the whole idea of their living was to have something pleasant happen. So you have to take the attitude, and I'll give you some how-tos here. You have to take the first attitude that you and I are missing a large portion of our life based on the premise of our precepts, our concepts, our beliefs. And those are garnered by ideas that we have about logic and reasoning. So you have this basic premise there. Now you have to bring in the genetic disposition and the DNA. And you have to understand we live for and from and by the human body. Should we continue to do this without any sense of spirituality, without any sense of the meaning of what it is that we are as spiritual beings, we will just live a repetitious life. And it won't matter what you try to change in the outside. You will continue to live as you live within yourself, as a product of your genetic background. That's it. Until you can reach your spirituality, until you can reach that which is so very important, the essence of your spirituality, which is the goodness of your being. How are you going to recognize the goodness of your being when you are stuck in genetic background? It's going to be very difficult. You can only conjure it up, imagine it, make it up. It isn't something you can really do. The second thing that is very, very important, I'm running out of time, so I'm kind of pushing it here, is forgiveness. You need to forgive. You need to take your worst enemy, whomever you may think it is, and realize it's yourself. Why did I make an enemy out of this person? Why did I have to make it so ugly? Don't go into your self-righteousness. Don't go into feelings that you have emotionally that, well, they deserved it. No one deserves the wrath of Gregory Penn. No one. And no one deserves the wrath of Don, whoever your last name is. I'm not going to reveal it. No one. So I have to sit with that inside myself and understand, what reward have I if I only love other people the way they want to be loved or I want to be loved? I have to go beyond all of that. One last thing before I go here, and it's a very important thing. You need to ask yourself the ultimate question in relationship. What do I put other people through in order to be with me? What do I put other people through in order to love me? Just ask yourself that question day in, day out. It will reveal to you many, many aspects of your life. Many aspects of the unconscious that are eking out of the sides of your brain, your actions, your gestures, your movements. You see, nothing is really going to change, Don, until you and I have come into a sense of love. When love is possible, real love, not your philosophical love, not your emotional love, but real love. When real love is made possible, many beautiful things can happen. Let love live you. That's what I say, Don. Please forgive me. Namaste. I wish I had more time on that. Next one comes from Marty. I do not know where Marty lives. I feel so miserable, but no one would know it. Should I confess to my friends and tell them how unhappy I am, or should I just keep it to myself? I don't even know if I can change, and I don't know what to change. Marty. Marty, a lot of people feel the way you do. Do not feel alone and afraid on this one. Many people do. And I'll tell you what is going on, but you won't believe me. There is a knock at the inner door of your being. Something is trying to reach you from the other shore. And it is rubbing you and making you, quote-unquote, miserable. Because you're not paying attention to it, you're not dealing with it, you're not allowing it to have any kind of presence in your life. And because you are living in such a manner, now you are becoming miserable. So let yourself be miserable. Stay in your misery and see if you can stay there and watch it. Watch where it is coming from. You will see it is coming from emotionality, and you will also realize very quickly, if you stay with it long enough, it is an unconscious thing. You will also see that in that unconscious, quote-unquote, thing, you're having difficulty dealing with your genetic background, your humanness, which is always unhappy. That's why we have the human race. We're always racing for what? What are we trying to race to? What are we trying to find? What is it we're trying to get? We are missing. We are totally missing. And because we miss, we don't understand the nature of what it is that we're pursuing or being pursued by. So we just go out and think, well, if I get this, if I get that, if I don't get this, if I don't get that, maybe if I go over here, maybe if I go over there, maybe if I do this, maybe if I have more of this and less of that. And we go on and on and on, never facing what it is that causes our misery. I can tell you what it is in a word. You know, it's my fear. It's the fate of me living in my fears and not doing anything about it, just living in it. But I'm telling you, this is ugliness. It does not go away because I want it to go away. It stays there and recycles itself over and over and over again in my life. And I never conquer my daily life, living, so to speak, as a mere human being. I never realized the spirituality of it. People have a hard time with the word spirituality. They don't even know what it means. It frightens them. They are afraid of it because they think of some cult, or they think of, you know, being maybe if you're a logical person and pride yourself on your reasonability, as it were, that you become some Bible thumper. But you see, none of that is what it means to be spiritual. To be spiritual, or to recognize it, is to recognize that gap, that pause between our breath. It is to be fascinated and interested in that pause, that gap, that space. That is what it's all about. That is the meaning of it all. And if you can go into that pause, that gap, that space, if you can listen to it without reservation, without trying to make sense of it, you begin to see there is a beautiful world inside, magnificent world, a world of kindness, a world of forgiveness. But more than that, more than all of that, it is the vibration, the ebb and flow of what it is to know the meaning of love. When Jesus said, God is love, he meant God is love. He is not talking about the idea of a personage of God. Because God is not a person, not a man. It's not a thing either. It is just love itself. Love is a vibration. These are silly words that I'm using. But nonetheless, they are the only ones we have that are common ground for both of us. True goodness, true love, true godliness, it's found in silence. It has no voice. The voice of silence is the voice of love, of true change, of true meaning. But we do not go there. We do not think in these terms at all. We can't, because silence has no quality of thought, no elements of liking and disliking, which our thoughts have. So, because we cannot think it, we believe it does not exist, or we use it when we think we need it to exist. And we miss the whole thing. We miss the meaning of what it is to sit in ultimate silence and allow the heart to beat, to pulsate, to become whole again. All of this is missed. Only for the fact, and one fact alone, that we think thoughts are more important than no thingness. So, Marty, the reason you're having such a difficulty is because you're a thinker. And what you think, how you think, the way you think, and what you think will make you happy are all the things that cause us to live in unhappiness, in shame, guilt, fear, anger. And we never mature out of that. I have rarely seen a person mature out of that. In fact, they never do. All people generally do is live out of the conscience of themselves, not the consciousness of their being. We don't cultivate consciousness, generally speaking. We live only for that which pleasures us and pleases us. And even then, with that, we only have a few things that work. And then after that, it all becomes very convoluted. Marty, something's banging at your door, saying, come, come awaken, awaken. Now is the time, and it is the time. Now is the time to awaken. It's very interesting to me. I hope that helps you, Marty. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Many people I have known who feel the banging at the door of that great love that lives within them, and they don't do anything about it. Last question comes from Jack. He does not tell me where he lives either. Why does God make us so unhappy? So we will change, maybe? What do you think, Greg? Jack, my dear, whoever you are, God does not make us unhappy. It is not a matter of God making us unhappy. Happiness is a quality of consciousness. It has nothing to do with external events. If you have achieved authentic happiness, you will have it wherever you go. There will always be happiness wherever you are, whatever the circumstances are. There will be a happiness, a joy. But because we have made happiness the state of our humanity, and we have given it over to our genetic background and said, we must be satisfied, we must be vivified in our emotionality, we miss everything that is important. How can I help you with that? How can I help you with your life, the meaning of your life, when you are busy trying to find the external forms of happiness that you think will appease your unhappiness? It is impossible. Most people are not dedicated to that which would give them joy. It's too hard. They'd have to be selfless, not selfish. They'd have to give up anger and hate and fear. They'd have to give up selfishness and pride, and they're not going to do that. They will not do that, because that is the way they think. That is what they cherish, the worst part of themselves. And it is always amazing to me to watch people live in the worst part of themselves instead of the most loving part. Their psychology, their depression, all of it be so ugly, and yet they will hold to that. They will live in that. They will actually seek it out and never do anything meaningful in their life, because this is what they're used to. Well, this is just the way it is, the old Eeyore thing. And they stay with it and propagate it, defend it, and theorize by it, and live their whole life in the premise of feeling sorry for themselves, so they don't have to really do anything meaningful with their life. That is the sad aspect of it all. But this is what we do. This is how we live. This is the substance of our livingness. And we go on and on and on in this, missing everything that is deeply important. How can I help you when that is all you are looking for in your life? You have to seek more. This more is not, I want more, but you have to seek the more that is beyond. If you seek beyond, if you can move beyond the concepts of your misery, if you can understand what I just said, you will find substance in your living. You will find transcendence. And that is really what it's all about in this world, to live in the quality of transcendence. I give my students this in the meditations and workshops, in retreats. It's all about transcendence. So if you're really interested, Jack, come and join us. Take a look on the website. You'll see. But I warn you, your misery will be at stake. Your misery may leave you. And I don't know if you'd know what to do if that happened. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Thank you for listening. I'm out of here. We'll be back on the air tomorrow morning. Thank you for your kindness, your attention, which is all that is really important. Please forgive me. Namaste.